Well, you blame the preacher. If you have your Bible, amen. Have your Bible, turn to chapter in Genesis chapter 22, and I want to read one verse there, and then we're going to go all the way over into the New Testament and read some verses there. I don't know about y'all, but I'm nervous. I mean, my stomach—I've ate four Rolaids on the way up here, and I've already my stomach is just rocking and a rolling, huh? Yeah, thank you. He sung about the peace. I got peace, but not that kind of peace right now. As we try to bring out something that this has been on my heart for the last probably month, or maybe a little bit longer than that, maybe. It just come across to me when I get to it, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to start reading in verse 7 and go down just one or two verses, and then we'll bring what God's laid on our heart. And it says, "And Isaac spake unto his Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So both of them went together. I'll get it right in a minute. What stuck to me in this chapter, I mean, everybody knows about Abraham. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and sacrifice him. So we know that God, as God was, Abraham was going and doing what God had commanded him to do. I've tried to put myself in Isaac's shoes, you know, because they say he was probably a lad of a man, probably 17 or 18 years old, a young man. And he could actually probably outrun his father, or he could have disobeyed his father, but he didn't. He went on and done what his father Abraham told him to do. He followed him. But he got up there and he noticed, as probably hundreds of times he's seen his father build an altar, take the wood, get a lamb, slit its throat, put it on the altar, and sacrifices unto God. But this time they go up on the mountain. For the first time, he goes up there and ain't no lamb. So Isaac, that's what's in his mind. Where's the lamb? Well, God, Abraham says in that one verse, in verse 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. So what I want to preach on is God will provide himself a lamb. And God does that. He started off all the way back in Genesis with lambs. I mean, he started back when let me go to the verse. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, Adam and Eve, when they sinned and took the fruit, and they found out that they was naked, and God came down in the cool of the day and found out that seen them had fig leaves on. Then God said, then in verse 21 it says, unto Abraham and Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. And so that's where you first see the first sacrifice ever made in the Bible, that God provided a way for sacrifice. And this is where I want to bring in where God has always, throughout the beginning of time to where Jesus comes, you'll see the sacrifice God has made to bring himself a lamb. Now, thousands and thousands of lambs, God in Leviticus lays out how God wants the lamb to be without spot, without blemish, without any imperfections in them. And they'd take them to the priest every year, and the priest would sacrifice that lamb, and it would cover the sins of the person for 1 year. But you think about, that's just a yearly sacrifice that they did every year. But when the true Lamb of God comes on the scene, when he sacrificed himself on the cross, it was once and for all. That's why he said it was finished, because then God done away with all sacrifices. Then there'd be no more sacrifices. There didn't need to be anything else done. They didn't have no more lambs. But we're going to see in John the Baptist, as he comes on the scene in John chapter 1, verse 29, and it says, the next day John seeing Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." So right there is where Jesus steps on the scene. Now we see that the true Lamb of God is here to take the sacrifice. But now if you go back all the way back in the Old Testament again, and you look in Isaiah 53, where God shows that there was going to be a lamb that's going to be slain. He's going to be bruised for our iniquity. He's going to take all the punishment on him. And that's who Jesus, where he was talking about, where he was going to provide himself a sacrifice. Now all these lambs and sheep and all these turtle doves and all the other things that they used back in them days, they didn't take away sin. They just kind of covered them up for that 1 year. But then when the true lamb come on the scene, that's when we have something now. But we see that when John the Baptist seen him, I mean, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, I try to study this out a little bit. Why did they use lambs all the time? Because I guess because he knowed all of us was pretty dumb. Because poor old lambs are, they'll fall in a ditch no matter. I mean, they'll be on a straight road and they'll fall in a ditch some way or another. And that's the way we are. The way we think, the way we act a lot of times, we're just like a lamb. And I've been around a few of them in my time in Virginia one time. And, you know, the lady that owned the sheep, she says, you know, if you don't go out there and take care of them, if you don't bring them in the shed every day, they'd stay out there and freeze to death. Or if you don't take them to the water where they ain't running over somewhere, they won't drink out of it. Because he said there's got to be still, the still waters. And if you go into Psalms, you'll find out that he leads us beside the still waters. And that's the reason. He takes care of all our infirmities, takes care of everything that they are about us. God takes care of that. But I want to think about the love of God that he has for each one of us. Why, I asked some guys today at lunch, why does God love us? Why? I mean, of all the creations that he's made, I mean, he's made other worlds, he's made beautiful animals, he's made beautiful scenery, he's made beautiful things. Why did he decide to love us? But then when he loves us and he formed us and made us in his own image, we fail. But God still loved us, because now he's trying to figure out a way that I can take care of him. I mean, you know, in Genesis we read over, where he made clothes to cover them because of their nakedness. And you got to think, okay, if you was naked running around outside, you'd get sunburnt. Everybody'd be laughing at you. and you know, if you went through the briar patch, you'd get briars all over you. So, you know, God had to clothe them to take care of them even in that time, as God is taking care of us in our time right now. You might see sometimes in our lives we don't feel like God's 1,000 miles away, but that's usually when he's the closest. And this is kind of a silly illustration, but I want to use Abby for a second. A lot of times I want to show the love that she has for me. I can scold her, get on to her, and make her not get on the internet or play her little games. Boy, you know, that's devastating for 10 kids now. And but I can be out in the yard or working or doing something, and she'll see me out there sweating, and I don't have to say anything. She'll run right in the house, get me a glass of water or some tea or something, and bring it after she's here, Daddy. I mean, here, you're out here hot and sweaty. And it just shows her love. Even though I've disciplined her or trying to make her do what was right, even though she shows me her love, even though, and that's the way God is, even though we do goofy things sometimes, God still loves us with that everlasting love. There's a love that no man can ever, we can't even describe God's love. I mean, it said that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was, but it also talks in there, it said it pleased God that he bruised him. And I thought, how in the world could that, how could God was pleased when Jesus was going to be bruised? Because he knew that through his bruising, through his beating, we, if we had ever accepted Jesus Christ, if we accept him through his burial and resurrection, we was going to be made whole into Jesus Christ, into God again. Then we're going to be one of God's children. And that's how God was making a way for a lamb to come, and that was Jesus Christ. And but you know, we see in Genesis one thing, he showed us that he loved us by clothing us. He showed us that he loved us by sacrificing for that lamb. And he also showed Adam and Eve the things that we need to think about. There's a consequences for your sins, was death. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, brought forth death. So when God showed him that, it showed that it opened up, that when their eyes were open and they knew that they was naked, then they knew that there was something wrong. But God asked them, says, who told you was naked? They knew what was right and wrong. And even as us, as we grow up, one thing that I learned with my kids, the little bit older they get, they you don't have to tell them what's right and what's wrong. It's in there. It's built into them. They know when they do something. And Abby, I say, Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, or I didn't mean to do that. What you told me not to do, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. But you know, there's consequences for her not doing that, and that's the same consequences for us. But us as a saved people, the consequences between us and God ain't punishing, so that we're going to be separating forever and ever. But we lose that personal relationship that we could have with him each day. That's what we lose. And God even showed, and Moses, with Moses was doing the 10 plagues and all that, and they took the blood of the lamb, put on the doorpost and on the lintel, and the death angel passed over. And that's how them kids, the firstborn of Israel, and that had the blood applied, they were saved. And let's see, one more thing. But in the New Testament, I know I'm silly, man. If you was in my stomach right now, it's a rolling. And I usually don't have cotton mouth, but I got cotton mouth bad. But it said, you know, the Lamb of God, the Lamb is mentioned over 29 times in the New Testament. So God had a reason to put all this in there. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, I want to read a couple of verses, and then I think we'll be about done. It says, "And this we were manifest, it manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." You know, it said might live through him. That's because you have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died and arose. That's not a hard thing to do. For some reason, the devil puts in our minds, I'm going to chase a rabbit here for a second. When I lived in Dalton, I had eye surgery, and I just had been out of surgery not very long. This guy come by the house with another guy. And this guy says he wants to get saved, but the pastor's not in. Can you talk to him? I said, well, bring him on in. I'm all patched up and all this stuff. And he says, well, I've done some really bad things. And he was about 25, 30 years old, and married, and he's fixing to lose his wife, and they're fixing to go through a divorce. So he was pretty well tore up. And so we was talking about the Lord and all that. And I told him, I said, you know, there's nothing that God can't forgive you for. Oh, yeah, man, I've done some really bad things. He said, I was smoking pot behind the church. He said, God seen me. I said, yeah, he did. But he couldn't get out of his mind that God wouldn't forgive him that. I said, Buddy, I said, if you will just ask God to forgive you of that, God will come in your heart right here, right now. He said, you know, I ain't got to go to the church. I said, no. And I just, you know, me, I'm still running my mouth. And he's sitting there looking at me, and all of a sudden, he just fell down beside the couch and just started squalling to God, forgive me and all this. And, you know, in a few minutes, he jumped up there, and he was ready to rock and roll. And this guy said the first thing he done when he got in the car, he said, take me home. I got to get the family Bible. He got the family Bible, and he went to where his wife worked. He says, honey, I got saved. Looky here. You know, I got the Bible now, and we're going to go to church, and we're going to get this work. And they did work it all back out. But, I mean, it's just weird how God done that. Well, I don't know what that was, that rabbit I chased. Okay, now I'm going to get back on this. Herein, the love of God, it says here in verse 10, and it says, herein is the love. Here is the love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, however you say that, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfect in us, whereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because we have given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, I looked on the internet and I asked the internet, I said, what is the greatest verse in the Bible? What would you think it'd be? John 3:16 is the greatest verse that most people look at more than anywhere. What's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest verse in the Bible, because it tells you everything about who God is, who Jesus is, and what you need to do. What Jesus says, I'm the door. If anybody might knock, I'll let him in. I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. You know, and that's what the love of God is. I mean, if all the bum things that we've done in our lives, I mean, I'm 57 years old, and I've done some dummers, some real boners, but God still loved me. I mean, when I was a sinner, I've really done some dumb things. But when I went up to that altar and asked God to forgive me that day, and when I mean, it felt like that building was sitting on my shoulders. But when I said, God, forgive me and come into my heart, it felt like that building lifted off of me, and I was a totally different person from then on. And, you know, that is what the love of God is. And it says in these verses, he says, it ain't that we love God, but God loved us. And he's the one that gives all the sacrificing. Jesus was willing to be that sacrifice. God was willing to take the beatings. God was willing. Jesus was willing to take all them things on us, our sins on him, on Calvary, that we might have life. And all he's ever asked us to do, what is the greatest commandment? I think he told Nicodemus, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If we do them two things, then we fulfill all the laws. We fulfill everything the Bible wants us to do is loving one another. And, you know, there's some people that's done some rotten, nasty things to me in my life. And I was telling them about this guy. It kind of done me wrong. But, you know, I ain't going to be his best friend, and he ain't on my Christmas list this year. But if I see him, I talk to him, I try to be as friendly as I can. But like I say, he's not on my Christmas list this year. But God still will make me love that guy no matter what he's done. And that is the hardest thing as a human, is to forgive another person. But the hardest thing is you asking God to forgive you. Just like God forgave you, you got to forgive that other person no matter what it is. And I think that's probably about it. And I know this is kind of short, maybe long, I don't know. Maybe you say, boy, I'm glad he's done. But all I really wanted to bring out tonight is God loving you. And see how much God loved you. God loves us with an everlasting love, no matter where we go, no matter what we see. I know the other church that I was in before I came here, we went to California, to Long Beach, California, to help rebuild a church. Well, only people was in there was Asians, Koreans, Mexicans. They were 7 different nationalities, Filipinos. And most of these cultures hate each other. But this church was full of all these different people. And you know, I told that guy I was with, I said, this is the first thing I ever thought about being in heaven with all them people. I mean, that's what impressed me the most. I said, I've never thought about these Asians and all these different nationalities being in heaven. I mean, because I've always been around people like us. I'm not, you know, and that just shocked me to think that all these different nationalities. So I don't mean if we're slant-eyed, we're a little brown, we're a little black, we got different color hair or no hair. No hair is a lot better than anything. You don't have to comb it. You don't have to worry about it. I go ahead and throw that in there right now. That's easy to maintain. But I just want to go to the Lord in prayer, and if y'all want to do a verse, you can. I don't know if anybody would like to pray or anything like that. That's up to y'all. I'm going to leave that up to y'all. But I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and if anybody wants to come, they can. We'll be more free to come. But Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for all your kindness that you have for each one of us. Thank you for your great love, and thank you for being the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. Thank you for taking away our sins. And I hope that each person in here will recognize in their heart how much you love us. And that's what means the most, no matter what trial we go through, no matter what heartache we go through, financial situation, marriage situation, God, you're always there to take care of us. Thank you for your love and your mercy, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to take up collection. No.